Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And our subject this morning is Christ at the door. Well, we come to consider these wonderful words this morning in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. A mysterious book, as many would see it, a book that is indeed full of mystery, full of symbols. And these symbols have been interpreted in a number of different ways by a number of different people. And yet, despite all the symbols and all the mystery and all the different interpretations of the book of Revelation, really the core message, the simple message of this book is very clear, and it is simply this, that the Lord Jesus Christ wins. That's the message of the book of Revelation. Never mind all the mysteries and all the controversies, the most simple application and the simple message is that the Lord is victorious. And this is how the world ends. This is how history is concluded. Christ will return. Christ will have the victory. Christ, who is, of course, a true historical figure, well, he will bring history to an end. And he will be victorious over all of his enemies, all those who oppose him, including, of course, the devil, Satan. They are thrown into the pit of fire, the lake of fire. He will be victorious over all his spiritual enemies. He will be victorious over death. He will be victorious over hell. And all of his people will reign with him forever. We will be victorious if we know him. And nothing can stop this from happening. No man, no government, no empire, no army. Nothing can stop this at all. Not even unbelief. Even if the whole world did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that cannot prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from claiming the victory. He cannot fail. And so these things, well, they are made very clear in the book of Revelation that he will reign victorious. And this is a great comfort, of course, to the Lord's people. And it's an undeniably clear message. So that's really all you need to know about the book of Revelation. Of course, there's so much more, but that is, if there's anything that we are to take away, that is the great message. But here we have in chapter 3, and we do need to give some context just to this verse that I'm going to take out of context in a few moments. But the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here to a number of churches. He has appeared in a vision to the Apostle John. This is some time after Christ has died and risen again. And the Apostle John is in exile on an island, the Isle of Patmos, in about the year AD 95. So this is roughly speaking about 60 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. The Lord appears to John in a vision. And when John sees the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he falls at his feet as one dead because he's so overcome with the glory and majesty of Christ. But the Lord tells him to do something. You must write down the things that you see, John. And particularly in this chapter and in the previous chapter, he has something to say to various churches. To seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And here at the end of chapter 3, he is speaking to the church at Laodicea. Now, these words are ultimately for believers, for Christians, because he's writing to a church, of course. So these words are for Christians. But these Christians have lost their way. These Christians have seemingly lost their zeal for the Lord. You will remember that they are described as being lukewarm. They are lukewarm. They should be on fire for the Lord. They ought to have a great zeal and a great fervor for the Lord, but they are just lukewarm. And so the Lord is exhorting them to be zealous once again. That's what we read in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The church has become cold, lukewarm, when it should be on fire for the Lord. And that leads to those words, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So these words really are for believers. The church seems to have lost sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church, if I can put it this way, seems to have put Christ out of the church. And that's very wrong. A church ought to have Christ always at the center of everything they do, the center of the message, the center of the worship. The church is not supposed to be about us as people and what we like. And sadly, yet there are so many churches, it seems, in the modern time. You go into the church, everything that they do, everything that they say is all about them, all about what they like. They seem to have put Christ at the door. So Christ is out of the church. He's at the door. He's standing at the door. You've put me out of the church, in other words. That's what he's saying. And so this is the first application is for us as believers, because these words are for us. We must never do this as a church. We must always submit to the will of God, always put Christ at the center of all that we do, not what we want to see happen in a church. What does the Lord want? What does Christ want? We don't put Christ out of the church so that he has to knock at the door to get in. No, dear friends, this is what has happened to the church at Laodicea, and this is something that we must avoid. The Lord is center. The Lord is over everything. The Lord is all in all to us. So I just mentioned these words to put them in the context that they belong to. But now I'm going to take the words out of context, because I'm going to use these words to challenge non-believers. Non-believers, these words can easily be applied to non-believers, to those who don't know the Lord. In fact, I was speaking to somebody just earlier this week, only a few days ago. He's a pastor in his 90s. He's lived a long time. And we were asking him, how did he get saved? How did he come to know the Lord? And he said it was because of this verse, taken out of context, of course. But he saw this verse printed on a poster. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the power of these words turned him to the Lord. He was an unbeliever before, but he realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was knocking at his door, the door of his heart, the door of his soul, the door of his mind. And that's when he turned to Christ. So this verse, even though the context is for believers, this verse has many, many times been used by preachers to appeal to the lost, to appeal to those who don't know the Lord. And so I make no apology in doing the same thing. I'm going to take these words and apply them to those who don't know the Lord. But well, for those of us who do know the Lord, these words, I trust, will be a great blessing to us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, what does this speak to us of? How can we get the gospel out of these words? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, the first thing we can say, this teaches us, all of us, that the Lord is near. The Lord is near. If somebody is at your door, well, of course, they are near to you. They're not far away. Like if you ring someone on the phone, well, normally speaking, they're very far away from you. That's why you have to ring them. But if somebody is at your door, well, they are very near to you. You don't have to ring them, of course. They're right at your door. And this is the first very simple application. And this is the first thing that we say to people when we present the gospel. The Lord is not far from you. He is at the door. He is close to you. And that's regardless of what you may think. You may think that you are very far from God. You may think, well, the Lord is for Christians. The Lord is just for Sundays when I go to church. But, well, realistically, I'm very far from God. I am far from God. I'm not a spiritual person. I'm not a religious person. But that's not true. The Lord is always close to you. And in a sense, it is easy to turn to the Lord. In a sense, it's easy because the Lord is not hiding from you. That's what these words are communicating. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's not hiding from you. You don't have to do anything hard to find the Lord. You don't have to physically go anywhere to find God. You don't have to go to the top of a mountain. You know, some of the ancient religions, they used to believe that their gods lived on high mountains. The Greek gods, for example, Zeus, on the top of Mount Olympus. If you want to find God, you have to go up to the top of a mountain. You don't have to do that with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is near. He's at the door. You don't have to go on a pilgrimage either. There are many religions. If you want to be holy, if you want to find God, go on a pilgrimage. Go to some far off country and there you'll find him. You don't have to do that with the Lord. You don't have to go to a far off country. He is at the door. He is close to you. So this is the first application. He is at the door. He is very close to you. And in fact, well, it is he who has come from a great distance to visit us. He is the one who has come. He came down from heaven to earth. You know this. He came down from a wonderful place, an everlasting place of perfection and bliss. He left that place, came into this world that is so dark, that is so full of sorrow and wickedness and tears. And he came to visit us. He has made that long journey to be right near us, to be at the door. And this is amazing when you think of who he is. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not just from heaven. He is the King of heaven. The King of heaven. Why, if the King of England came to your house, if the King of England came to your house or your flat or apartment, if he came from Buckingham Palace and came to your door, you would answer it. Even if you didn't really like him that much, why, the King of England, do you not realize he has come from his palace, from his luxury? He has come to see you in your home. He's at your door. Would you not answer it? Of course you would. Well, here we have the King of heaven. The King of heaven has come from an eternal and glorious place to be at the door. Would you not answer it? It is a great crime if you keep the door shut, and yet so many do not open the door to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is what happened when the Lord came the first time. The Lord Jesus came to visit his people, the Savior of Israel, the Messiah, long prophesied. He came from heaven to earth. Born in Bethlehem, as we all know, came from heaven to that obscure place, Bethlehem, Judea, just an obscure corner of the Roman Empire. He came from heaven to this place, and yet what do we read? He came to his own, but his own received him not. He came to his people who should have welcomed him, who should have received him, but they did not. And well, the Jews, they're just like the rest of the world. They're just like particularly the modern world. those who should receive the Lord with joy and gladness, but they do not. Does that describe anybody here? Christ is near. Christ has come to visit you, but you don't let him in. You keep the door firmly shut. Dear friends, this is so very sad. Christ is near to you. Don't act as though he's far away. He is near to you. He is at the door. And furthermore, of course, we read that he knocks. Behold, I stand at the door. The Son of God is at the door. And he knocks. Well, how does the Lord Jesus Christ knock on the door? Some people will ask, what does that actually mean in the real world? Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is not literally going to come and knock on your door. So how do we know when the Lord is knocking? Well, the Lord knocks by using the things that happen in our lives to get our attention. You know, when somebody knocks on the door, of course, it's to get attention. I'm at the door. I'm waiting for you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, how does he do that in our lives? Well, he uses certain things. What kind of things does he use? Well, for example, we all have in our lives great trials, great difficulties, things that nobody can help us with. The Lord will put us in those kinds of situations. It could be a time of sickness, great pain. And nobody else can help you. Nobody in the world, all the people that you used to trust. You can't help. They can't help you. They are powerless to help you. Or perhaps it could be a time just of great depression or being downcast. You're in a dark place and nobody can lift you out. A great trial, a great crisis, a great time of calamity. The Lord will put you in that place so that you look to him. You see, these events, they're actually the Lord knocking on your door. The Lord is saying to you, nobody else can help you. They can't help you, but I can. He is knocking at the door. Will you not answer him? These things, these bad things, and well, of course, you can apply it to the bad things in the world. Why do bad things happen in the world? All these crimes, whenever we hear of these crimes, these calamities, these atrocities in the world. Really, that's the Lord knocking on the door. He's saying to you, look at the world. Look at how sinful it is. Why do you put your trust in this world? When you watch the news and all the wickedness and people lying and stealing and doing bad things, why do you still trust in the world? Why do you still choose the world? I am knocking. These things, they are the Lord knocking on the door so that you turn to him, so that he gets your attention. You turn away from the world and you look to him, that you repent. All of these things. This is how the Lord knocks. He knocks on the door of our lives. He knocks, of course, and we don't mention this very often, the Lord knocks on our consciences. The conscience, we all have a conscience that God has given us. God has given us a conscience. And your conscience will, from time to time, will remind you of sin, something that you have done, something that was not right, something that was selfish or unkind or shameful. Your conscience will from time to time remind you of those things. You know, that's the Lord knocking. The Lord uses your conscience to remind you of sin, the things that you have done. And why is that? Why do our consciences make us feel bad? Why? What does our conscience know? Well, our consciences know that one day we have to stand before God. The conscience, it doesn't just know what is right and what is wrong. It knows that there are consequences for what is right and what is wrong. And so the conscience knows that we have to stand before the Lord. And everything that is on our conscience will be revealed before the Lord. The Lord will know everything that is on the conscience, every secret will be unfurled and revealed. And well, the conscience with this knowledge, it's urging you, urging every single one of us to seek the Lord. The conscience knows we have to stand before God one day, and it's knocking on the door. You must seek Christ. You must seek Christ. The conscience knows this, and it endeavors to remind us urgently. You see, this is the kind of knock that the Lord Jesus Christ has when he knocks on the door. It's an urgent knock, the conscience urging us. You must come to the Lord. There is no other way for the conscience to have peace. No other way at all. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is how the conscience knocks to us. We don't have to be unaware of these things. And we, in fact, know these things very well. But time is running on. We speak of the conscience, but let me speak about something else, because it's not only the conscience that is important. It is the heart, the heart. What we actually see here, or part of the picture here, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ knocking on the door of our hearts. And I've mentioned this very often before, the heart is so important. Many people will claim to be Christians. Many people will claim to be believers. And yes, they know a lot about Christ, and they may know a lot about the Bible, and they may know a lot about religion, but sometimes the heart is closed. The mind knows a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they've never let the Lord into their hearts. They don't actually love the Lord. And that is so very important. We have to love the Lord. It's not enough just simply to know Christ or to know about Christ. You can know about somebody and not love them, of course. You can know about somebody or know someone at work and not love them. Is it the case for anyone here? You know about Christ, but you don't love him. And that is so very sad. If that is our case, well, the Lord is knocking, even today, saying, let me into the heart. Let me into the heart. Let me have that relationship, that loving relationship with you. That is what the Lord is saying here. Well, how do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? I must be brief in this, but we know these things very well. We can only truly love the Lord if we understand how the Lord has loved us and what the Lord has done in his love for us. That's the only way. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. He loved us and he gave himself for us. He died for us. That's how much he loves us. He loved his people and he died. And he died for our sins. Christ did not die for Christians because they were good people. This is what I often say, and sometimes I say it in the street preaching and everyone's amazed, because this is the misconception that people have about Christians, that we're all good people, that we're all better than everybody else. That's not true. Yes, we strive to be good people, and we ought to be good people, but you know what Christians are? We are sinners. The difference is we are saved sinners. Our sins have been forgiven. That's the difference. We have not been saved because we're wonderful people. We have been saved because the Lord has had mercy upon us. Even though God knew our sin, he went to the cross. And this is amazing. If somebody knew all of your sins, if somebody knew everything that was on your conscience, well, would they still like you? Would they still have anything to do with you at all? You went and told your nearest and dearest everything that you've ever done in your life. They would be horrified. They would most likely have nothing to do with you at all. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew everything. Everything about you, everything that's on your conscience, everything that's in your heart, all the wicked thoughts, everything. And yet he still went to the cross. He still loved you, in other words. He still loved his people, in other words. This is the wonderful love of Christ. And it's only when you realize that, that's when you open your heart to the Lord. Your heart, then you love him, because you know and you realize how much he has loved you. He saw all of your sin on the cross, and yet he said, Father, I love my people. Punish me instead of them. That's what he said. That's the love of God. Why would you keep the door shut? Why would you not open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? These things are so very wonderful and so very precious. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. There's a second part to this verse, but I won't have much time to go through it. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If any man hear my voice. Well, again, this is another way in which the Lord knocks on the heart. By the word of God and by the preaching of the word of God. And there are many people here who have heard the word of God, heard the gospel many, many times. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ knocking. Knocking repeatedly. He doesn't just knock once and then leave you alone. He has been knocking repeatedly, week after week. When you hear the word of God, when your conscience has been troubled, when things happen in your life that cause you to lose your faith in the world, this is the Lord knocking on the door. He is calling to you. And this is our prayer, that you hear his voice. You hear his voice when you come to hear the word of God. And that you come urgently. You come with haste. You answer the door as soon as you can. Dear friends, don't leave it. Don't leave it long. You know, some people, they will say to themselves, I want to have a good life when I'm young, and then I'll open the door when I'm old. That is so foolish. It's so very foolish. Not just because you don't know how long you have left in this life. That's the first reason. You may be dead tomorrow. But let me tell you this, the longer you leave it, the harder it is to open the door. The longer you leave it, the harder it is to open the door. Now, it's not impossible, of course not. There's nothing impossible with God, but it's not guaranteed that the door will ever open. And in fact, the longer you leave it shut, well, it's like a door. If you leave a door just shut, a metal door, let's say, and there's rain and there's wind, well, the door will soon rust over. You can't actually open it even if you wanted to. That's like the door of our heart. Your heart has become so hardened, repeatedly rejecting the gospel, repeatedly ignoring your conscience. The door, you can't even open it. It's like a rusted over door. So, dear friends, the Lord is knocking urgently. This is why the knock is urgent. You must come now. Seek the Lord while he is near. Yes, it's not impossible to come when you're older, but it's certainly not guaranteed. And the longer you leave it, well, it is at your peril. Come now. Come to the Lord. Look what the Lord said just very briefly, the last part. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The Lord brings a feast, as it were. The Lord brings joy and gladness into the household. This is what he brings. Don't ever have this attitude. If I open the door to Christ, if I turn to the Lord, if I repent in faith, I'll be miserable my whole life. That's what so many people think. I'll have a miserable life. I'll be depressed the whole time. No, dear friends, the Lord, this is somebody who has opened the door to the Lord, and the Lord has only brought in good things. Sup with him. This doesn't just mean food and drink. In ancient times, really, this spoke of fellowship, of close relationship, of communion. This is what you will have, a relationship you never had before, the best relationship you could ever have, an eternal relationship, eternally loved by God. This is what you will have when you open the door, but you must open the door. Go to the Lord, pray to him. Say, Lord, I have rejected thee for so long. Now I want to open that door. I choose the Lord Jesus Christ. I turn away from everything else. The Lord wants you to come willingly. He doesn't burst his way through the door. He doesn't impose himself. It must be your choice. But dear friends, it's the only wise choice. Come to the Lord and know his blessing and his love forever. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. Hear his voice this morning and come to him.